Very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is day 3 of our August 2024 annual retreat. Today is Sunday, 25th August 2024. So we're supposed to continue with our morning chanting and reflection. So we'll do a very simple morning chanting. Well, morning chanting we have already done. So now it's just for those who came in late in the morning. I think if you miss the 8 precepts, maybe now you can renew them. Get Aang B to maybe administer them again. Okay, you turn to retreat chanting book, page 1. So Aang B, together with you all, will make the request. So Aang B will start to recite Mayang Mitta, then Tisarani Na Saha, Atta Silani Yachama. Then after that, Dutiyampi, you all recite together. Yeah? Okay, yeah. Aang B.
Okay, dear brothers and sisters, before we renew our precepts, let us bow 3 times to the triple gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Buddhaṃ bhujemi, Dhammaṃ bhujemi, Sanghaṃ bhujemi. Mayang mita ti saranena saha atta silani yachama. Together. Dutiyampi mayang mita ti saranena saha atta silani yachama. Tatiyampi mayang mita ti saranena saha atta silani yachama.
Okay, now we shall recite the taking of the 3 refuges together. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tisaranena gamanaṃ nittitaṃ
dhammamitta.
Okay, now we will commence the taking of the 8 precepts. For those who take 5, you chant until 5, turn to page 4. So maybe I will read the English version so that you all understand the precept. Then we can recite together. So the first precept is the normal Panatipata. So the English translation, to get the meaning so that you understand. I undertake the training rules together. I undertake the training rules to refrain from taking the life of any living creature. I undertake the training rule to refrain from taking that which is not given. I undertake the training rules to refrain from any kind of sexual activity. I undertake the training rules to refrain from false and harmful speech. I undertake the training rules to refrain from we read again. I think a lot of you are not familiar, cannot follow. I undertake the training rule to refrain from consuming intoxicating drinks and drugs, which leads to heedlessness. I undertake the training rules to refrain from eating in appropriate time. I undertake the training rules to refrain from entertainment, beautification, and adornment. I undertake the training rules to refrain from lying on the high and luxurious sleeping place. So I will read the Pali first, then I will read the translation so that you understand. Imani atasika padani silena sugantin yanti silena boga sampada silena nibunting yanti tasma silang visote. The meaning is, these are the eight precepts. Sila or virtue is the source of spiritual peacefulness. Sila or virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. And sila or virtue is the source of true spiritual peacefulness of mind. Therefore, let this sila or virtue be kept and purified. So if you read through this one with understanding, you will know the importance of precepts. Because as a cultivator, we need these three types of what they call a source of spiritual peacefulness of mind, spiritual wealth, and spiritual, the first one is spiritual happiness, then spiritual wealth, then the last one is peacefulness of mind. So if you keep your precept, these three things will be with you. It is the source. When you have your precept, you will develop happiness because you didn't violate the nature's law, especially the law of karma. And because of that, your life will be more conducive. You will have more happiness in life compared to a heedless person who commits a lot of karmic negativity. Then when the karmic repercussion come or friction of the negative karma arise, they suffer a lot. So spiritual happiness is something very useful for our life. When we are happy, our mind become more peaceful. And you don't violate the precept, you have more peace because a lot of negative things will not arise in you. People who break the precept, they have a lot of problems. If you break the first precept of killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, deceiving, partaking intoxicant, then followed by the 6, 7, and 8 precept. In fact, 6, 7, 8, not so serious one. It's to train the cultivator. But the first 5, very serious. So if you kill or harm fellow living being, you can get into trouble. Your enemy will come after you, or the police will come after you. Then not only that, karmic also will take its course. If you steal or take things that is not given. You will also have a lot of problem when people come to know. If it's the company or workplace that you work with, it is committing CBT. You know what is CBT? Criminal breach of trust. The company trusts you, but you steal. That you commit sexual misconduct, of course, the consequence, you know, can be very serious. And people who do it are really having a lot of delusion and stupidity. Because the whole family unity, the family love and peace, you're willing to destroy it through what? Through certain lapse of moments of desire, lust. But at the expense of your whole family, understand? When you commit that, it will lead to a lot of suffering between the spouse, the children, the parents, the in-law, people who have what they call relationship with you. They care for you, they love you. That's why they will also be affected. So all this, when you reflect, you realize you cannot be selfish. Yeah. So lying is also the same. Why you lie? Because you want to deceive, cheat, take advantage of situation. That's why you lie. Or you try to cover your wrongdoing. You lie. All this lead to selfishness, craving, desire. Then you partake in toxicant, you will know. Your consciousness will be affected. Yeah. That's why you can never have the spiritual peacefulness of mind, spiritual wealth, and spiritual happiness. So when you don't have spiritual peacefulness of mind, how can you meditate? When you don't have joy, you ain't got time to go for meditation and training. Then if you don't keep your precept, normally to keep your precept, what do? You need to go to a temple or somewhere you can take the precept or renew the precept, or even like our activity, the Buddhist one, you take refuge, you chant your salutation to the Triple Gem. Then when you renew your precept at the temple activity, you will receive Dhamma, spiritual wealth. You will receive understanding. Then you got the opportunity to cultivate all the 10 meritorious actions. So this will give rise to spiritual wealth. You come to the temple, you make offering, dana, you keep your precept, sila. Both are meritorious actions. That's why dana, sila. Then you pay respect, reverential salutation. It's also a meritorious action. Then you meditate. It's also a meritorious action. You listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, share merit, rejoicing, transfer merits. All these are meritorious action. Then you help out, provide service to the sasana. All these are meritorious action. Then you try to benefit others by sharing the Dhamma, the gift of truth, or help in the compilation and printing of real, true Dhamma books. All these are very wholesome. So the way the Buddha actually prepare all this is for cultivator to progress along the spiritual path. That's why I do not underestimate all this puja offering, all this chanting. Because some people may not have the understanding. They say, "Ayo, we come for retreat to meditate, to receive merits, to receive wisdom, to develop wisdom so that we can become enlightened." But the Buddha already told you, dana, sila, then only got bhavana. That's why spiritual well is very important. When you partake in spiritual activity or Dharma activity, you get to do a lot of wholesomeness instead of indulging yourself in the heedless way of living life. You may call that happiness or joy or excitement and all things, but that leads mostly to temporary joy or happiness, because that is more of the materialistic kind. It's nothing spiritual. Whereas the spiritual well can bring forth wisdom, understanding, and help you liberate your mind, be free from all suffering. So that is the big difference. Yeah? So hopefully you understand why the Buddha actually encouraged us to come for religious activity. You have your pre-puja, post-puja, then Dhamma session, and all the other activities which are very conducive. So do not underestimate all these puja offerings, all this chanting. The other thing is it gives you the faith. You feel good, the vibration, the chanting, everything is very conducive. Yeah. Then all this can pave the way for you to develop all the spiritual faculty. Every of this chanting remind you of the Dhamma, remind you of the things that you have to do, so that you will not deviate and go the wrong way. So retreat is not about full-time meditation. Otherwise the Buddha will put there bhavana enough. But why did he put sila, samadhi, panya, then dana, sila, bhavana? So you must understand all this is for the good of the cultivator of the way, so that the devotee, the monks, understand why you do all those things. All cultivation need to start with understanding. Okay? So with this, we recite the last one. Imani attasika padani samadhiyami. Imani attasika padani samadhiyami. Imani attasika padani samadhiyami. The English translation is, I undertake these eight precepts. I undertake these eight precepts. I undertake these eight precepts because they are conducive for my cultivation and protection and progress along the path of Dhamma. Then you all can rejoice, respond. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. So now you understand why you keep precepts. It's out of love and compassion for you all. It's not that the Buddha is trying to make life difficult for you. When you understand, it's totally different. A lot of people in the initial stage, when they come to religious activity, when they realize there are so many precepts or what they call commandment to keep, some of them they will say, ayo, so ma fun. This one cannot, that one cannot. Cultivation is like that. Nothing is easy. When you start, you have to train yourself. Well, your old way is a heedless way. That's why you have to come and develop the understanding to train. Otherwise, like the Buddha said, your life, the choice is yours. If you choose to be heedless, then continue. Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course. Suffering will follow you. Like the hoof that follows the wheel of the cart. But if you see the danger of heedlessness, like what Sui yesterday asked that question, then you will determine not to be heedless. Then you will determine to train yourself to be heedful, to be ever mindful. Constantly meditative, so that you will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And then, happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. And this is how you develop the understanding and progress. Love yourself, understand that? If you don't love yourself, then how can you love others? How can you live life? People who become heedless, they don't love themselves. They are so deluded that they think this is life. They enjoy life, understand? By becoming more and more heedless. Because they think that is what they want. So they go for all the vices. They drink. They go for late night. They indulge in a lot of things. And some gamble. Then do a lot of negative things. Like now, so many scams around on the sound. Because they think easy money. But then the karmic catch up, they regret. Then this life, those who kena scam also don't blame others. The Buddha say you reap what you sow. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma condition, supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So what does that mean? Yeah? In the past, you must have scammed people before. That's how. And now, there is condition for you to become the victim. Sometimes you ask yourself, how can I be so stupid and so dumb to fall into this? It's not to say why you are stupid and dumb. But the karmic consciousness, when it comes, you really become dumb and blur. You cannot do anything. Even Han, when he was at Wutai San, she herself later on relate to her, yeah, but I don't know what happened. I can be so stupid as to do all those things. Yeah, we went there one group. All of a sudden, he cannot find us. Then he somehow walk down. But all the car all parked there. Everybody left there, and that is the place we will meet and visit all the day. But he walked down until we can't find her. Luckily, he got handphone. He managed to call. Then he said, where are you? Then he described, you're down there. Right? Then the driver said, whether it's down or the other road. Well, there are two roads. So we don't know where to look for her. Then ask her to walk up back because the mountain is quite steep. He said, I got no strength. I cannot come out. Oh, luckily, the driver very good. Immediately through their walkie-talkie system or what, all the driver. Luckily, we asked her to send photo. She sent her photo and the vicinity around there. So this driver just sent out, asked for SOS. Anybody see this report? Then immediately within minutes, somebody respond. And then the driver say, I know where she is. They saw her. They sent the photo. That's why we managed to get her. But not always like that, so lucky. When the karmic consciousness come, you really, even like her, cultivate so many years. He said, I don't know what happened. I can be so dumb and so stupid to do all those things. So when karmic conditioning, karmic consciousness come, if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you don't have stability of mindfulness and awareness, you cannot deal. In fact, in the teaching, Theravada teaching is mentioned, the only way to avoid, not to completely root out, avoid karma, is when you confront it, you have the wisdom to avoid it. That is the only way. Without wisdom, you cannot avoid. And I came to know how you can avoid. Karma is like that one. When the conditioning karma, when you confront it, you don't have the Dhamma and the wisdom, it will continue to torment you. Torment until you have enough, you learn, you give up, then it reverses. Otherwise, it continues on. But if you have the Dhamma, the wisdom, I realize, the moment I confront it, I understand, it reverses everything. Well, in 1989, it came and test me after I received the Dhamma. my mother, my son. The moment I understand, everything reversed itself and went back to normal. So, develop this understanding. It can help you. Okay? Now we continue. What's the time now? Oh, just nice, huh? 9 o'clock. Okay. So instead of meditation first, we will do the Dhamma sharing first. Yeah? Then we reverse it. So 10 to 12, supposed to be Dhamma sharing. So now 9 to 10 is supposed to be meditation. We will move it to 11 to 12. Yeah? Okay. Manjuan, can you still read? Recharge already, huh? Yeah. Okay. Continue.
11 Heart Sutra class, page 64. Part 1.
65 already. Huh? I finished 64 already. Part 1.
Okay. Part 2. Questions and answers, 2.1. The state of non-returner or anagami, question 1. Why did the Buddha say, "Verily, O Bhikkhu, should anyone, not necessarily a Buddhist, who cultivates these four foundations of mindfulness, in this manner for 7 years, then by him one of the two fruitions is proper to be expected, sainthood in the here and the now, or if some form of clinging is still yet present, the state of non-returner or anagami, the third stage of the supra-mundane enlightenment, and why not at least a sotapanna or a sakadagami is to be expected." Brother Teo answered, "Very likely it is because the Buddha knew that the four foundations of mindfulness is such a powerful cultivation that it can lead to at least the realization of anagami if some form of clinging is yet present. The other reason is, in the four foundations of mindfulness cultivation, it is stated that only after overcoming covetousness and grief can one cultivate the mindfulness of kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma nupassana. As the sotapanna and sakadagami are still not free from the fetters of ill will and sensual desires,
covetousness,
and they still have to come back to the sensual realm for at least one more life. This is the reason why the Sakadagami is also called a once-returner, whereas the Anagami is called a non-returner."
So a non-returner means they don't come back to the sensual realm. So they are once-returner, they take birth in the pure abode, the Brahma realm. Yeah. Okay.
"Whereas the Anagami is called a non-returner, one who has no more delusion but still some form of minor clinging and conceit. The Anagami will be born into the pure abode within the form of Brahma realms. The 10 steps of the Abhijja Sutta is also very clear on this. The four foundations of mindfulness is step 8 of the Abhijja Sutta, to be cultivated after only after step 6, sense restraint, and step 7, 3 ways of right conduct, have been cultivated."
So this one, for those who don't know what Abhijja Sutta is, you go and read it out, where it's in the website. We don't have the time to go through, it's too long. So Abhijja means ignorance, Sutta on ignorance. So the Buddha under the Abhijja Sutta mentioned the arising cycle and the cessation cycle. So the arising cycle is how from avijja, ignorance, you fall and become heedless and become what you are. Then the other one is how to break the avijja cycle. So how to break, he proposed, or he in the sutta proclaimed, there are 10 steps. The first step is to have kayanimittas, Dhamma friends. Without Dhamma friend, you cannot receive this teaching. So Dhamma friend is number one. After you have Dhamma friend, you have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. That is step two. Then step three is after you listen to a true Dhamma, you straighten your view, you develop the faith, the sadha in the Buddha and his teaching. That's how everything starts. Then you start to cultivate. Then as you cultivate, you develop the initial wisdom, which is step four. Yoniso Manasikara. When you have Yoniso Manasikara, step four, you will not stir your mind as much like before. Most of the time you are at peace. That's why you got more space between thought. You got more moment of awareness, attention. You does not end up in sensual desire, ill will, and all the mental hindrance mind state. And because of that, your daily mindfulness stabilizes. That's why step five is sati sampajana. So when you have sati sampajana developed until very stable, you are incapable of breaking the precept really. Where you're not only mindful, you have clear comprehension of everything that is going on in life. That's why after that, step six is you have the ability to have sense restraint. Your mindfulness, your understanding will prevent you from breaking the precept. At that stage, step six, you are at least a sotapanna, first stage of sainthood. Then as you cultivate, you will realize step seven. Step seven is the three way of right conduct, right thought, right speech, right action. You cannot violate them anymore. That's how you become the second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami. Then only you can move on to step eight, which is the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why in the Sutta, Four Foundation of Mindfulness, the Buddha mentioned very clearly, if you cultivate this with sincerity and understanding, he guarantees you maximum 7 years. Of course, minimum, he did mention 7 days. You will realize at least anagami, third stage of sainthood. The reason being, after step 6 and 7, only you can cultivate step 8. Understand? Not? That's why definitely you will be beyond Sakadagami. Then only you cultivate four foundation of mindfulness to realize at least anagami if there are still very minor clinging. Yeah. Otherwise, you will become an arahant. Yeah. So from step 8 as you cultivate, then you will come to step 9, which is the seven factors of enlightenment. They keep on arising. Because you cultivate correctly the four foundation of mindfulness under the fourth foundation, the second last category of cultivation, mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, that will arise. When that arises, you know you are on the right path. You have not deviated. That is step 9. Then after that, the natural consequence is, well, these are factors of enlightenment, make you enlightened. Step 10 is a natural consequence. Enlightenment in the here and the now. And it's very clearly stated in the Abhijja Sutta. Okay? So that's the reason why I explain it that way. Yeah. Okay, continue. Yeah.
2.2. Why the Bodhisattva way of cultivation is not much emphasized? Question 2. Why is the Bodhisattva way of cultivation not much emphasized in the Theravada tradition? What is emphasized is mainly the sainthood ways culminating in arahantship.
Next time, Manyan, you all make a note. The title and the question is repeated, Sana. So you can skip the title and go to the question straight away. Okay? Read the answer.
Brother Dio answered, the Buddha at the time in Kozambi gathered a handful of leaves in his hand and explained to the bhikkhus then. It is essential meaning. It's essential meaning. The Buddha said, even so, monks, many are the things that I have fully realized, but not declared unto you. Few are things I have declared unto you. And why, monks, have I not declared them? They, monks, are indeed not useful, not conducive, are not essential to the holy life of purity. They do not lead to disenchantment, to dispassion, to detachment, to tranquility, to full understanding, to cessation, to enlightenment, and to nibbana. That is why they are not declared by me. So the Buddha knew during that era, the conditions were such that the sainthood way, while cultivating the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, is the fastest and the most appropriate, hence the teaching then. The other reason could also be because the Bodhisattva way is so much longer, needs aeons and aeons of cultivation to perfect the 10 paramitas or perfections, and this way is so much more difficult. To be a Bodhisattva, one must have a very great compassion and a very big heart to come back for the living beings, and they have to vow to save the limitless living beings. The supra-mundane mind, via this great compassion and vows of theirs, must arise to cause them to come back again as Bodhisattva to cultivate the perfections. Otherwise, after arahantship, the form and mind will cease upon parinibbana and there will be no more rebirth. 2.3. Question 3. Can you elaborate on the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind? Brother Teo answered, the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind is as a human being. As a human being, we have a physical form or body and a mind. The Buddha subdivided the mind into four more aggregates of feeling, perception, activities of mind or sankhara, and consciousness. Since the mind is the knowing element, and anything that the mind knows is the form in the mind, hence, you also have the five mental aggregates of form and mind within every moment of sense experience or sense door consciousness. This is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, and the external form enters the mind via the mental aggregates of perception, memory, perception, knowledge, or sanya. Like the external form of a Buddha image, how does this external form enter the mind? Via the seeing consciousness and mental perception, via memory, right? This second aspect, which is the five mental aggregates of form and mind that arise and pass away with every moment of sense door consciousness, is the more important one that the Buddha talks about under his dependent origination or 12 links, Paticca Samuppada teaching. The text mostly explains the 12 links using the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, with the 12 link occurring only once over three lifespans, and this type of Paticca Samuppada is of not much use. It explains that dependent on the first link of ignorance or avijja, it conditions karmic volition on sankhara. Then, karmic volition conditions rebirth consciousness or vinaya, and dependent on rebirth consciousness, form and mind or nama rupa, the human being comes to be. Dependent on human being, the sixth sense basis or salaya dana come to be. To them, this is the only possible logical way of explaining it. Whereas the 12 links, the actual 12 links using the second aspect can also be explained if one understands how our mind functions or operate as taught by the Buddha. According to the Buddha, the dependent origination occurs within every moment of sense door consciousness. That is, dependent on ignorance, not understanding the truth and wanting to know, it conditions mental volition or activities, mundane perception and thinking, etc. Then, dependent on thinking or mental volition, it creates mental contact that triggers off mental or thought consciousness instead of rebirth consciousness. Because mind is also an organ, then dependent on mental or thought consciousness, the content of consciousness will follow to arise the five mental aggregates of form and mind, second aspect. Then, dependent on this form and mind, there must be these six sense spaces. Hence, the flow of dependent origination as taught by the Buddha. This second aspect is seldom taught because it is very difficult for most cultivators to have the understanding to share unless they themselves have realized the paticca samuppada happening within their own form and mind. 2.4 Question 4. Why is it that my mindfulness could only sustain for a while and I find it very difficult to cultivate the daily mindfulness when I am working? Brother Teo answer, when you understand what sati or mindfulness is, then you will know how to train your mind to be heedful throughout the day, and daily mindfulness can be developed and stabilized even in the midst of life and work. When I was cultivating about 26 plus years ago, I was also working as a civil engineer. The place I worked according to my boss and my predecessor was like a madhouse.
Predecessor
was like a madhouse. I was the head of the maintenance and technical department of the property office, a super scale post with a staff strength of 800 plus, responsible for the overall upkeep, maintenance and development of one main and two branch university campus. This job comes with a lot of responsibilities and work pressure, yet I was able to develop the cultivation and my daily mindfulness was not a problem. So it all depends on you, and if you are sincere and serious about life, then the cultivation will take off and there will be no problem. You must know how to plan and organize your work well, then you will be able to do it, like what I did. Within a period of 2 to 3 months, the whole madhouse department was transformed and I was able to settle down to do my cultivation. And soon I became quite free after I had managed to standardize into annual contracts most of the essential routine maintenance works. That was the reason why, while working, I could still meditate daily. Off and on, can still go for meditation retreats and spiritual trips, etc., with my wife and 2 children aged 4 and 6. I followed a very strict daily religious routine and meditate very often. I will meditate early morning when I woke up, before I start work at office, at lunch break, and whenever I had free time, and before I sleep. Even during meetings. Then later, when my daily mindfulness meditation had stabilized, I was able to meditate throughout the day and even into my sleeping moments, like I hardly sleep and I was fully aware and awake most of the time. 2.5 Question 5. What is the difference between forest and ordinary city monk? Brother Teo answered, it is just different terminologies used to describe these two different types of monks. The forest monks are those from the forest traditions, especially those within the outskirts of Thailand, where they still practice the forest traditions as laid down by the Buddha, i.e. they cultivate following the Vinaya and the Sutta so as to be worthy of offering, etc., and also on a daily basis, they go for Pindapata or alms round following the Buddha's tradition. However, the ordinary city monks who stay in the city monasteries or temples do not usually go for Pindapata or alms rounds, and they are usually more scholarly, and since they tend to have more interaction with worldly people, their worldly duties are more, but they also cultivate following the Vinaya and the Sutta. It is a matter of preference or choice, and it is up to the individual. Most types of monks can still cultivate the Buddha Dharma because they are ordained monks following the rules and teachings, Dharma Vinaya as laid down by the Buddha. Part 3, Meditation, email number 4, Second Turning. How to cultivate this second turning wisdom of Cittamaya Panya via inquiry, contemplation, and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. 3.1. First Noble Truth, Second Turning. The Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Inquiries. Number 1. Why did the Buddha say this? It is because the Buddha knew we need to inquire, reflect, and contemplate into the truth he had proclaimed, so that we can truly understand what this first noble truth of dukkha or suffering is. This inquiry can allow us to sincerely reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into this first noble truth of dukkha to truly understand what dukkha is before we confront it, so that we can be wary of it. This will also enable us not to be caught in dukkha or suffering while not knowing that we are already suffering. 2. How can I develop the understanding of what dukkha is? One can do it via the above reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the 5 daily contemplations as recommended by the Buddha, with a very calm and composed mind filled with Sada, Viriya, and Sati, the first three of the 5 spiritual faculties, following what we have done during the Sutta class. For details, please refer to the recorded sharing via web link as done by Brother Sui An. 3.2, Second Noble Truth, Second Turning. The Buddha said, this cause of the arising of dukkha, which is craving, is to be abandoned. Inquiries. Number 1. Why did the Buddha say this? I.e., craving, which is the cause of one's suffering, is to be abandoned. If craving is not abandoned, we will continue to suffer. Number 2. How can I abandon it? To reflect deeply into the Buddha's 4 right efforts and the 5 daily contemplations as advised by the Buddha, followed by the Dharma on impermanence, suffering, and anatta nature of the 5 aggregates of the form and mind. To use the 4 right efforts and the 5 ways as taught by the Buddha to abandon these unwholesome thoughts and the cravings that will condition our unwholesome action, speech, and thought. As we all understand, finally, only wisdom frees. So to use the 4th way, which is to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it, to develop the wisdom to free, and this is the best way thus far. This 4th way uses heedfulness to cultivate the mindfulness of the 6 internal and 6 external sense bases via Dhamma Nupassana, mindfulness of Dhamma cultivation, to trace the origination factors leading to the wisdom, thereby enabling one to understand clearly how your mind has been tricked into attachment or clinging and reactive modes via one's delusion, because there is no yoniso manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Craving born of delusion is the cause of all our attachments and clinging to our 5 aggregates of form and mind that conditions our suffering. To refer to the 18 March 2012 6 Heart Sutra Part 3 Question 1 Short Notes for details. 3.3, Third Noble Truth, Second Turning. This cessation of dukkha is to be realized. Inquiries. Number 1. Why did the Buddha say this? Why is this cessation of dukkha to be realized? So that one does not have to suffer anymore, because, according to the Buddha, suffering need not be, and that this cessation of dukkha can be realized in the here and the now before one dies. The other reason is, the second turning emphasized here is on the word realization, because the Dharma or enlightenment is not a knowledge, but a wisdom which is to be realized or awakened 2. Without thought. Number 2. How can I realize the cessation of dukkha? Realization can only arise after one has trained one's mind to have the initial heedfulness and wisdom after overcoming consciousness and grief. To cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness and the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha. 3.4. Fourth Noble Truth, Second Turning. This Noble Eightfold Path that leads to the cessation of dukkha is to be cultivated. Inquiries. Number 1. Why did the Buddha say this? This second turning emphasis is on the word to be cultivated instead of only to be understood as per the first Noble Truth. The reason being, Noble Eightfold Path must be a part of you for you to be able to live it. Hence, understanding alone is not enough, i.e. you may understand but you cannot live it. Number 2. How can I cultivate it? To contemplate, reflect and inquire deep into all the Noble Eightfold Path factors to develop the true understanding of what they are as taught by the Buddha, like for the first path factor of right view, Samadhi. What are the three important right views as taught by the Buddha? They are the law of karma, the four noble truths, and the law of dependent origination. One also needs to train one's mind to be heedful and ever mindful with the right sati and samadhi to see things as they are, following Dhammapada verse 23, which states that the ever mindful, constantly meditative, and the steadfast one will realize the supreme born free Nibbana. 3.5. The third turning is always on the realization and the enlightenment part. 12 Heart Sutra Class. 1.1. Apamada or heedfulness means a mind that is ever mindful without thought within to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, following Dhammapada verse 23. It is just like a relaxed inner awareness that is always aware and without thought to see things as they are, to see reality or the truth within all mental, physical and nature's phenomena. 1.2. Applying the 6R technique. While meditating in a formal posture, if one feels any tension or tightness or distraction or stress within one's body and mind, then one must just recognize first R. Recognize it and after that release it, second R. Then relax third R into whatever mind state that has energy built up, including all the tightness and the tension that can be felt. Then re-smile or radiate a radiant smile, fourth R, with a relaxed inner awareness without thought. The moment you relax, craving loses its strength, and this relaxed and radiant smile steps are very important to make your mind feel at ease, light, tranquil and free. This training of the mind will enable you to decondition your mind from its heedless thinking and grasping to sense experiences. This will enable the cultivator to develop a silent, tranquil mind with heedfulness within naturally, via the understanding that originally the true mind is already in the meditative state with clear inner awareness within, so there is no need to do anything but instead just relax and silent via let things be. Then the heedless thinking and grasping born of delusion will slow down and stop on its own via wisdom. The mind will then return to its original state of true silent inner awareness. Without the thought, the ever-shining nature, which is the true mind, will then shine forth. This ever-shining nature, which is the essence of mind, is always there. The fifth R is to return to the object of meditation to train the mind to develop a very stable sati, if this training is still needed. Once the mind is already trained and constantly aware in sati or pasati throughout the day, then this training is no longer required because mind has entered sati. The 6R is to repeat the above training of the first 5R, but need to be careful not to do it until it becomes mechanical or repetitive. This last step must be done with understanding, especially for those who are still trapped in thought-based meditation. Beyond the 6R is the awareness-based meditation, where the new 4 supports for meditation are 1. Relax, 2. Aware, 3. 24 hours, 4. Trust.
Here, aware means maintaining the awareness. Just aware, don't do anything. Then 24 hours means technically you must maintain it throughout the day so that there's stability. That's why I put there in the early day 24 hours. Then trust means trust your nature to let the movement develop by itself. No interference from the thought process, the memory, the mundane thinking, the mundane stirring activity. That one, after you have the direct seeing, you know it leads to delusion. That one is not wisdom. So you don't act according to memory. You act based on your Dhamma understanding that has arisen through your contemplative wisdom, first turning, second turning, followed by the third turning. Contemplative wisdom is second turning. So once this wisdom is developed, stabilized, your so-called wisdom, panya, is stored in your nature. Because that nature, through the direct seeing, awakened to it, realized it, understood it. So it's connected. And we call this yoniso manasikara. So this wisdom or understanding, they will spontaneously manifest at the moment of sense experience. That's why yoniso is wisdom. Manasikara is at the moment of attention. Wisdom at the moment of attention. If you don't have that, you cannot cope with life. You have every moment of attention or sense experience, you go to the memory and retrieve. Hey, what did the Buddha say? What did Brother Teo say? Then you know, act out of that memory. You sure fail. Understand? Because you have not stabilized it and developed the understanding of it. But when you have, no need to go to the brain. No need to recall anything. Spontaneously stay at the heart. The Dhamma will appear. That's why it's called spontaneous arising. So in the Abhidhamma, they always say, to have the highest merit, 3 things. Whatever generosity or offering that you give, they always recite it. So manasa sahagatang, jnana sampairutang, asangkalikang. Asangkalikang means spontaneous. So manasa sahagatang is like the Bahasa language. Suma masa sahagatang means before you do, you have joy. When you do, you have joy. After you do, you still have joy. You have that fulfilled, your merit is at a different level. Then jnana sampayutang means you do with jnana, understanding, wisdom. So you don't do because other people say so. Because that is merit. That one, not jnana sampayutang. Jnana sampayutang means you know. There is condition to do this is wholesome. I have cultivated it before. The Buddha has taught this and I have contemplated, reflected. This is conducive. That's why you spontaneously do. Because you don't wait for people to prompt you. That's why in the Abhidhamma they say prompted and unprompted. So don't wait for people to prompt you. This one know. When they see condition, they rejoice. Like rejoicing, you don't need to wait and look around. Somebody start on it, sadhu, sadhu. Like that, no point. Be the first, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That is the power of rejoicing. It's a meritorious action. So cultivation is like that. Without that thing, you cannot have yoniso manasikara. This one cannot prompt you at the moment of sense experience. That's why without that spontaneous wisdom arising from your nature, you cannot teach, you cannot share, you cannot even cope with life. So that is the reason why yoniso manasikara is very important. Manasikara is attention at the moment of sense experience. Yoniso is wisdom. Without that, it becomes a yoniso. Without the yoniso. The Pali word is very funny. You put an A in front, it becomes different. Dhamma, a dhamma. Understand? A means no more dhamma. So all these are the that one is different. So all this, as you develop the cultivation and the understanding, you develop your own understanding. I can tell you, basically, I don't study Abhidhamma, I don't study the Pali language. But very strange, this life I come, I hear Pali language. The word that is expressed with the Dhamma, I understand the Dhamma inside our. I'm not interested in the word. But if it's commentary, comment or interpret it wrongly, I also know. That's why the one that have realized is pachetang. Like the Buddha said, this Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise each for themselves. If you have not developed the realization, you cannot understand the word. The word are very deep, like dukkha. It's a very powerful word. Sabbe sankhara dukkhang. Everything that sankhara manifests lead to suffering. Well, sankhara is mundane mind activity, including the mundane mind state, mental intention. All of the content of consciousness, everything that this mundane mind, which is egoic and limited, can do, it will lead to suffering. Because without wisdom, sankhara, because it's anicca, it will be dukkha. And because it's anicca, it will be anatta. The characteristic become very clear. When you see anicca, you will see dukkha and anatta. So all this are what cultivation is all about. If you don't have the realization, then you read through your mundane thinking mind, you try to understand, you find it very difficult. It's like a lot of things contradictory, not consistent and honestly. Then you got a lot of questions on. No problem with questions. Because before you understand, you ask a lot. But after you cultivate, you understand, surprisingly, like all the Kaya Vita, no more question. So there are period or phase where you go through. When you start, sure, a lot of questions, there are a lot of things you don't understand. These are so new. That's why have an open mind, be sincere, listen attentively. If I cannot understand, open mind, just let it be. Because I have not had the realization yet. But if you don't listen, then you try to use your limited understanding to question, to reason, then you have to be careful. Yeah? If you continue that, you will continue to be that, and you cannot progress beyond. Not to say you cannot question, you can question. But question so that it can clear your doubt and let you progress. Don't question because your view is like that and you want an answer. One thing, an answer is a habitual tendency. Understand or not? If people who are equally gullible as teacher, they answer you, they are like you, because they don't have the understanding. That's why in many of these Heart Sutta sharing, I did mention that if I'm equally gullible, I will answer you. Because the question you ask is wrong. Like, teach me how to meditate. I mean, to ordinary people, that is a logical question. Well, I don't know how to meditate. Well, teach me lah. But the understanding is, if I teach you means I also don't understand. What am I going to teach you? I'm going to teach you a series of instructions to do things. That is not the meditation. A series of instructions to do things is method, technique, and object of meditation. Note this, note that, do this, do that. Is that meditation? That is just a series of instructions to do things. And I can tell you, 100 people take the same instruction, they do it differently. Your words, instructions are subject to interpretation. Why not you develop the understanding of what is meditation? And then your question has meaning. Well, if I don't know what is meditation, I ask people to teach me meditation, I become very, very gullible, isn't it? True or not? It's just like I have a problem. I come to the doctor. I say, doctor, I got this problem. At least you mention the problem, and then the doctor can advise you, and then he can check you up on it. But you don't even tell him what the problem is, and that doctor is supposed to be a meditator. Teach me how to meditate. But what is your problem? You yourself don't want to know. And what is meditation? You also don't want to know. You believe that person knows. That's why I say gullible. Then you ask, teach me. Teach you what? Meditation? No. You ask the question, teach me how to meditate. But you don't want to know what is meditation. Then the instruction given, you also don't know right or wrong, correct or not. You try to follow. That's why I say, that is gullible. So understanding is very important. Understand what is meditation first. And then move in. With the understanding you move in, you progress very fast. So a lot of questions, if it's not relevant, try to avoid. Because you ask to have an answer to satisfy what? Your curiosity. That one, not much use. It will not help you much. So develop more and more understanding. When you understand, you progress. Life is like that. If you don't have the understanding, you cannot train, you cannot move, you cannot progress. Understanding is like wisdom. But before you have the wisdom, you must have basic understanding of what is it that you are looking for. And then only you can set for the right direction. You won't debate. Like that day going up the hill, summit there. You must find the back door, the correct back door to go up in it. Otherwise, you've got to go to the front door and go. But before you find all this thing out, and you tell yourself, hey, I want to go up the summit. Then you ask around, hey, teach me how to go up. If that person equally gullible, oh, I don't know, you try. I was told there. I heard like that. So which one you follow? But you don't want to find out. But the moment you find out that the temple people who are here, they know, oh, there's a back door to go up. There's a front door to go up. Then you know these are the two main entrance, ingress and outgress, where you can go and find that thing. So at least with the understanding, you don't become gullible. Then you are more focused. Then you can actually from there develop the understanding to reach the destination you want to. So understanding all this is very important. Okay? Manyuan, you continue.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 12, 2.1. The opening verse by Master Xuan Hua. Reversing the light to shine within. Kui Guan Fan Zhao. Avalokiteshvara vows to enlighten all the sensual beings. Thus, he is a bodhisattva. His mind is thus thus unmoving, ru ru bu dong, a superior one at peace. With total understanding of the ever-shining, he is host and master. The first line of the above verse is very important because most of the time, our mind dwells outside to chase after externals, the external appearances that created the phenomenal world of ours. This is also the reason why the Buddha said under the Dhammapada verses 1 and 2 that our mind is the forerunner of all things, and mind is chief. Everything arises when the mind arises. In order to understand what is going on, we need to return the mind to abide within so that we can be aware of what is going on within our mind. This is the reversing the light to shine within, kui guan fan jiao. Only then can we be aware of our content of consciousness within our mind, i.e. how our mind are stirred by externals and conditioned into clinging and grasping after externals created by the mind, via our delusion and mental aggregates of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vinaya. You will start to understand how thoughts and feelings arise in your mind with every moment of sense door consciousness and how they condition each other. How your thoughts with its conditionings, views, and opinions condition your feeling, and then how this feeling becomes craving, emotion, to condition your subsequent wrong thought or thinking. All this, if you are not careful or heedful, you have not developed the wisdom or uniso manasikara to enable you to see things as they are. Clinging and grasping will continue to arise, and dukkha or suffering will be the end result. The next verse, with total understanding of the ever-shining, he is host and master. The word host is synonymous to the owner of an innkeeper. The ever-shining is our Buddha nature. Imagine oneself as a hotel with six rooms. The six sense spaces are like your six rooms, and the sense data or external forms are like the guests of your mind. For example, the guests of your seeing consciousness are colors, shapes and forms. Vibrations like sound, music, noise, etc. are guests of your hearing consciousness. These guests of the mind are not like human beings because they cannot talk or complain. So it is a lot easier to manage this hotel if one is not deluded. The host is always there to receive the guests. The guests of the mind, they will come and go, hence they are impermanent. As guests, they are here to stay for a while only, and most of the time they stay for split seconds only, but because of your delusion, you cling onto them as memories and give them meaning so that they can stay for a longer period of time, thereby causing you all the miseries and suffering. At times leads to depression. If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, then he can stay aware inside and see clearly how peaceful he is when he just allows them to come and go, while perceiving them with wholesomeness and wisdom or right view, and also how he suffers and becomes miserable when he perceives them with negativity, via his own wrong thoughts and sakkaya ditti to grasp and cling onto them, while wanting things his way. This will enable him to develop the wisdom to understand that if he, the host, does not attach, cling and react, then he is always peaceful and not disturbed by the guests of the mind. Then life is wonderful and meaningful, and the guests of the mind can also be quite fun at times.
Okay, I will explain the last paragraph. Yeah, the last paragraph is very important. If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, means go into your awareness nature, and that's all. Don't stay outside. Like page 74, below the first paragraph of 2.1, The first line of the above verse is very important because most of the time our mind dwells outside, means outside of your physical body, to chase after external form that you perceive through your senses. The external appearances that created the phenomenal world of ours. This is also a reason why the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 mentioned that our mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is sheep. Everything arises when mind arises. So in order to understand what is happening, we need to return the mind to abide within so that we can be aware of what is going on inside our mind. How you function as a human being, how upon contact consciousness arises, how you retrieve the content from your memory, which is views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, you input into it, and that thought become moral, immoral, based on your views, opinion, and conditioning. So this is how most living beings abide outside. They cannot abide inside because they don't have inner awareness. They are not aware from inside that nature. That's why they cannot see. They are lost in thought. So this is what the Dhamma is all about. We need to return the mind to abide within, means stay with your awareness nature, so that you can be aware of what is going on within our mind. This is what Shen Hua say, Hui Guang Fan Zhao, reverse the light to shine from within. Means, do not let your mind dwell external. Only then can you be aware of the content of consciousness. You must see the content of consciousness to understand why thought is egoic, limited, and why your mind stir at the moment of sense experience based on your wrong view, your habitual tendency, the thing that you accumulate over the period since you are born until now together with your karmic conditioning or karmic inheritance. So this is what mind Dhamma is all about. And if you do that, you will understand how your mind stir, how it can be stirred by external and conditioned into clinging, grasping after external form created by mind via your delusion and mental aggregates of feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness, which are the four aggregates of mind. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, which we chant every morning. You will start to understand how thought and feeling arise in your mind. Upon contact, feeling arise, and how thought consciousness also arise with every moment of sense experience, and how they condition each other, how your thought with its conditioning, views, opinion, etc., condition your feeling, and then how this feeling stir and become craving, emotion, to condition your subsequent wrong thought, wrong thinking, wrong action, wrong manifestation. All this, if you are not careful or heedful, if you do not develop the initial wisdom or yonisomanasikara to enable you to see things as they are, clinging and grasping will continue to arise, and dukkha or suffering will be the end result. So this is a very important understanding. Yeah? Then I go back to that last paragraph. If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, then it can stay aware inside and see clearly. How peaceful he in inverted comma and close inverted comma. But this one, he is not a being, not a subject. Is when he just allow them to come and go, which is let things be. Understand or not? The third way, aware. We are perceiving them with wholesomeness and wisdom. means act following the Dhamma way or right view, and also how he suffer and become miserable when he perceive them with negativity via his own wrong view and sakya deity, to grasp and cling onto them via wanting thing his way. This will enable him to develop the wisdom to understand that if he, the host, does not attach, cling and give meaning and react, then he will be peaceful and is not disturbed by the guests of the mind, yeah, external sense data. Then life is wonderful and meaningful, and the guests of the mind can also be quite fun at times. That is, when you understand life, you know how to live life. So that brings us to another Dhamma understanding that I always want to ask Kayamita to contemplate. To me, in this world, there is no problem. Why do I say that? And you cannot agree on, understand? Where got no problem? Last time I work, my boss also tell me, where got no problem? No problem, I hire you for what? Understand? But when I explain to you, you will understand. Why do you call it a problem? Because you perceive it with negativity. Everything you perceive also you bosong on, then problem already lah. Health problem, also problem. Financial problem, also problem. Relationship problem, also problem. Then like my daughter went through last night, people make monkey face, also problem. So the world, everything you perceive in negativity become your problem. That's why you're full of problem. Rain also complain, no rain also complain. Understand or not? Already got food, shelter, and what else? Food and shelter, main or not. You also complain. People no food, no shelter. People born with their senses not complete. They also haven't complained. You with all the senses complete, with parents, with everything, you still complain. Why? Because there is no contentment. That's why contentment is a virtue. When you have contentment, you don't have craving. So this word contentment is very important. This word is very important. Then what is a problem? Understand this, contemplate this, then you will never get into trouble again. What is a problem? When you perceive a situation with negativity. What is perceiving a situation with negativity? It means what? You wanting your way there. That's why you bosong, understand or not? You I saw, you bosong, understand or not? Then duality you create and you make yourself miserable. For what? This is stupid, isn't it? You agree or not? Like the Buddha say, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Cannot change already, that is the reality. Why you still want to perceive it otherwise? Well, this is your habitual tendency, understand? This is your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your beliefs, and this is how you live your life. That's why you get into trouble. That's why to me, there is no such thing as a problem. This one actually don't exist. Don't exist. When you understand the Dhamma, thing is just the way it is, then why you want to perceive things with negativity? But when you perceive it with wholesomeness, means what? Like when you are contented, when there is contentment. You know what the Buddha answer when people ask him, what is the highest wealth? Contentment. When you are contented means what? You don't need any more. Yeah. The billionaire not contented, he's very poor. No? He's still one. No? Understand? No? That's why the highest wealth is contentment. And this one, no need to have money, one, no. You also don't know how to apply and use. Have it in your heart, understand? No? Contentment. If you are contented with life, you have gratitude. Like my daughter said, she appreciates, no? Everything that arises in her, she appreciates. No? She felt very happy, very contented. No? Understand? No? Well, that to her is so beautiful already. If you want to compare and develop lack of contentment, ayo, my classmate, their parent got driver, got what? Nice bungalow, every year can travel. You envy, okay? Means no contentment, understand? No? That's how you suffer. Krishnamurti used that word, I think Beng Fei can confirm. Measurement, comparison, that is the cause of all the problem. Why do you measure? Why do you compare? It's because you lack contentment. You lack understanding of the world. The world is the world. Like we all Chinese, we know, yeah. If it's yours, it's yours, isn't it? Correct or not? If it's not yours, it will never be yours. So why you want to crave and do all those funny things? There are ways to achieve things. There are ways to realize things. There are ways to have things. But you must understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. You cannot go the crooked way to get it. Then karmic repercussion hit back. So if you do it following the Dhamma way, no negativity, then whatever you realize is what they call rightfully yours in accordance with the law of karma. That's why in Buddhism, in the early day, a lot of people ask me this question. Patio, is ambition a craving? Yeah? What is your understanding? You're ambitious. Huh? That is your ambition. Huh? I want to be a doctor. I want to be an engineer. I want to be a professional, accountant or whatever. Of course, becoming a lawyer, you may think. We are most lawyer. Because of money, they fight the case. So, lawyer, that profession, you can be very professional if you are a true lawyer. But most lawyer, I think they have their own way of becoming a lawyer. There are reasons for why they want to become a lawyer. So some advocate for different things. That's why they are called advocate and solicitor. They advocate and they solicit. Understand? But don't say this to lawyer. They come after me. So, I have an answer. Yet. But you all want to try the answer. What? Is ambition a craving? They're all very confused. No? They ask all the time. No? I remember in the early day, I go and give talk that time, they ask, oh, Patio, Patio. He said, the Buddha said, cannot have craving. No? But I got ambition. No? I want to become, not lawyer, a doctor, or an engineer, no? Or an accountant. No? Is it craving? What do you think? Good. Why no? It's your aspiration. Like my wife said, I aspire to be a doctor, to be an engineer. So I work towards it following the Dhamma way. Correct or not? Not like a lot of people want to get master, PhD. Online can buy one. No. That one got karmic law repercussion. Pure fake one. Use money to buy one. Buy is like bribe, no? Understand? No? So if you know you have to study for it, then when you can complete the course, graduate, then you become an engineer. Then you become a true professional. Understand? Then you practice your profession. So don't be confused. Having ambition is not a craving. Don't panic until like that. Eating good food is not a craving. Unless you don't have the understanding, like eat already, you attach, no good food, you complain like hell. Then that is craving. But if you have the condition to eat, if you have the means, why not? If you go and believe, I enlightened already, I cannot have craving, I cannot go and eat good food, I cannot go and enjoy, I cannot go and pamper myself, I cannot sit first class, second class flight, if you believe that is what you are, then go your way, But for me, it's different. If I have the means, I will. But this is life, I will eat. Then I will also, there are certain times, you ask my daughter, the whole family, we go Paris, my son's graduation at Fontainebleau, I think, in Seattle. He did the master there. Then we continue to London, UK. The whole family, I buy business trip. Then my daughter, lucky, come back, upgrade her from business to first class. First time she sit first class. Then on the flight, she text me and say, "Oh, daddy, surprise." Then describe all the... I mean, these are the conditions that manifest. You have to mean, why not? So the world is not what you think. When you have understanding, when you have contentment, you don't perceive anything with negativity. Do. Understand not? Do you harm anybody by taking a first class or second class aeroplane? You don't either. Taking the good food, do I harm anybody? Cause any karmic negativity? No. Why are you going to worry? This is craving. Then, like my classmate used to joke with me. He said, "Hey, Dio, I heard you meditator, you cultivator, you teach. You all believe in renunciation, renounce everything. Then your money, pass to me. How you answer him? There are people like that one. You're supposed to practice renunciation. Everything not real. Not real, your money, pass to me. So how you answer here? Money, why must pass to you? I can use this money for the good of the many. Pass to you, you think good? You go and squander it, I myself use it for the good of the many. Understand? So understanding makes the big difference. Can follow? So now you know, do you have a problem now? You dare not answer, you know why not? Because you cannot make this a living reality. Because every time you perceive something, got problem already. Because your first reaction is memory, understand? Because you have weaknesses before, and you know, you'll die already. This one not right already, that one not right already. I forgot this, I forgot that. Or sometimes you forgot to pass the message down. Especially to your spouse, understand? Then come back, she'll kena left and right, nagging and all that. Unless your wife got dhamma, then as if nothing happened. So it perceives you with wholesomeness. My husband won't cheat on me. My husband very good one. Then no more problem. But you perceive that your husband cheat on you, what happened? What happened? You should fight one. You come back, look at him also, you stare already, you're angry already. Then all the thing you, not contemplation, you plan and strategize up here. When he come back, I'm going to question him, I'm going to question him left and right. And I'm going to make him admit for what he do. Just because you got a private investigator with some photo coming in, then you react. Understand? Why you want to do that? The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Whatever they do, they are the owner, heir to their own karma. Understand not? They are born of their karma. So understand this. Accept them for what they are. And only form a mind. You think it's real? You know what the Buddha say? He has this famous Dhammapada saying, my son, my property, my wealth, these only the fools lament, he say. Why? For that very body also don't belong to him. Wherein son, wherein wealth, wherein all this. So wake up. That body also don't belong to you. Where got this, that, and that? Then you go and cling, you go and grasp, you go and get angry, emotional, over what? Over an illusionary world. You know what is an illusionary world or not? Not what you think. Like everything you come to perceive, you think real, external form. This is just mental image here. You don't have a brain and a memory to store that. There is no reality. That's why I like that song, 往事只能回味, and so on. You cannot deny that you were born and you live this phase of life. But I ask you at this instant, what happened to your life? Is it real? It happened before, but is it real? You can only recall through memory. 往事只能回味, just memory. Everything is memory. And the illusion of time created by this mundane mind through memory is what? The past, anasana. That's why past is an illusion, no more reality, gone, dead and gone, anasana. Future yet to come, also no more reality. The present moment is the only reality in life. But how real is the present moment? It is so transient. Split second is dead and gone, split second is dead and gone, and that is the only reality. Why can't you see all this and wake up? Everything is conditioned arising, dependent originating. 一切有为法, 如梦幻泡影, no reality one. Then why you go and grasp, cling, hold and become miserable? Over what? Over illusionary thing. If you look back, this is really delusion. Understand or not? Ignorant. Okay? Can you understand? Yeah. Adeline, yes. Sadhu, sadhu.
Brother and Okayamitas, this morning I have some little bit of understanding and some little bit of realization during the morning Mahayana chanting.
Sadhu, okay. Very good.
After I paid respect and make my aspiration, then before the chanting, I sat down and it's like a lot of teaching came.
Yeah, a lot sadhu, understanding sadhu. Came. Very yeah. good, okay. Very good, yeah.
That is my personal problem, okay? Yeah. So it's like teaching, is tell me, okay, all my problems solved.
Yeah, sadhu, very good. Because when you see with clarity, you no longer deluded by what happened, understand? Because that is due to your own wrong view, the way you perceive things, the way you see things. If you still wanting your way, you cannot accept them for what they are, or the world for what they are, then this negativity or mind state will stir and create unhappy feeling, suffering, problem to you. So there is no such thing as a problem to me, to people who have the Dhamma. The thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha mentioned. Cannot be otherwise. So if I accept it and do not perceive it with negativity, then it's not a problem. So how should I perceive it? I should perceive it with the first noble truth, understanding. These are realities of life and existence. Everybody also subject to it. That's why it is a reality. So you accept, you are at peace. No more problem. Then you act. Doesn't mean you don't act. Understand? Don't quote me, say, let things be. Brother, you say, let things be. But I never say after that, don't act. No. Let things be means don't react. Understand? Don't perceive in negativity. So I accept based on understanding, right view. That's why what Adeline shared is very good. We can learn from it also. And it can help you solve your problem. So based on this right view, I accept, then I act. With clarity of mind, I can see what happened. Let's say, all the First Noble Truth reality can be old age, sickness, or death. Okay? Can be separation, financial problem, health problem, or relationship failure, or whatever. As long as you accept that reality and do not perceive it, that situation with negativity, then there is no fear, there is no worry, no anxiety, no anger, no hatred, no blaming. All these wrong actions stop. Then you ask yourself, how can I act to resolve all this amicably? Just like car accident, happened already. Resolve it. Don't go and argue over it. Don't go and say, why are you so stupid? You got no eye. You cannot see my car. If you say like that, you'll get into trouble, I tell you. Happened already means happened already. You need to apologize, just apologize. Okay? I'm really sorry. If I caused you any negativity or unhappiness or wrong way of treating you, I ask for forgiveness. Then he will also tone down, understand? No? Then resolve it means tell him, okay, don't worry. Whatever happened, I got my insurance claim. Finish. Understand not? Or apply Noble Eight Fold Path. Right speech. As I don't say all those negative speech. Approach it with understanding. Yeah? Everybody is the same. They don't want to be hurt. They don't want to be antagonized. They don't want to be like fell off and all those things. So this is how the Noble Eightfold Path come in. With right view to accept the reality, then arise the right thought, right speech, right action to resolve whatever misunderstanding or situation amicably so that nobody gets hurt. Then we go our way so that there is a solution. Then we can move on in life. Then we don't hold on to problem. Understand? When you hold on to problem, what happens? You worry about it, isn't it? Worry about it means tormenting you. Like, this is your problem, okay? Yeah? Let's say this one is your problem. Red hot. Very, very burning. If you hold on to it, what happens? It will torment you, isn't it? It will cause a lot of suffering and misery to you, isn't it? This is where physically you feel. But mental suffering is not like this. You don't feel it burning you because it's not a fire. But mentally you suffer. And that mental suffering is very severe, worse than this physical. So when you cannot see that it's tormenting you, then you hold. But like the Buddha said, the obvious thing to do is what? When you hold, it's hot, you put it down, isn't it? So whatever situation arise, you may think that there is a problem, but you don't perceive a negativity, means you don't hold on to this, you put it down. Then you accept the reality, you have a clarity of mind, you observe what happened. How can I resolve this amicably? That is applying the Dhamma way, the Noble Eightfold Path, to resolve it. Understand not? So if you do not perceive negativity, then there is no blaming, no sorrow, no lamentation, no fear, no anxiety, nothing. Everything is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Condition like that, things will be like, accept. Then from there, have a clarity of mind, reflect what actually happened, and how can I resolve it amicably. Apply Noble Eightfold Path, and the whole thing become beautiful. Then like my daughter, he always perceives wholesomeness. When you perceive wholesomeness and contentment, she got no problem. Understand? But initially, she got herself entangled first. Then after that, she reflect and try to perceive it wholesomeness. That's how she learned to embrace everything. But this is life. Understand? Not? Like the Buddha said, we are all born of karma, heir to our karma. Definitely something to do with that. You have not caused people, I will not be the victim. Understand? And all this comes because it follows this law. So if I embrace and he perceives his wholesomeness, like he always come up with the understanding that, oh, if I have not encountered this, I would not have possible for me to have all these things. Then the life become what he has developed as understanding to embrace through appreciation, through contentment. Then she become very happy as a result. No more like last time. Why they make monkey face? Why they do this to me? Why the world is like that? Why people are like that? All this is your own views, opinion, conditioning, habitual tendency, and perception of the world. And you create misery out of your own mental delusion. That's how the illusionary world has power over living beings, causing them suffering. And her way to understanding Dharma is like that. That's why she finally managed to develop the understanding. Let Sui.
Because we touch on this topic, so I was thinking I can just share before I forget. Because just now when this was held up and say this is our problem, I thought this was a very good example. So I will just draw a fictitious glass first. So metaphorically, this is our problem when we look at suffering being grasping onto the fire gates of form, especially the second aspect, which is the thought. So this is actually, I would say this is a wrong thought.
Yeah, yeah.
So for example, if it was a car accident, if it was an injury, a bee sting, a scrape on the near hole in the calf. We have people with these situations now. That's why I have very specific examples. All these things, the wrong thought here is not the situation, but the non-acceptance, which is this should not have happened.
The word is non-acceptance.
This should not have happened. It is better if it had not happened. This is the wrong thought that when we hold and we believe this wrong thought, this is dukkha, the crux of dukkha, everything we do. This is the very subtle starting point that makes all our subsequent decision, speech and action to have negativity. When I start to tell my dad about embracing and loving myself, it is attempt to not believe this thought and really accept by totally thinking this is better to have happened.
Sadhu.
The direct opposite thought. The wrong thought and the right thought. And when I think about this, right, most of the time it boils down to whatever it is, I have to pay back my karma. If it was a misfortune that I look at it at the beginning with negativity, then pay back my karma. After that is an opportunity
to
pay back now,
to learn,
rather than for it to fester and become a bigger problem later, to pay back even more. So I really end up looking at it with positivity and becomes an opportunity. I don't, at least the suffering was that brief moment before I let down the cup. I really let go and no more cup. I hope this example helps.
Sadhu. It's very good because you must look at this. This example is very good. Should not means what? Not a reality, true or not? Because you want it your way. So should not is not a reality. So forget about it. If it's not a reality, it means you are projecting your thought and trying to create something based on what you want. Understand? Wanting your way, which is not nature's way, wanting things your way, which is not nature's way, will bring about suffering. This is the first noble true reality. Not able to get what one desire or want. Okay? Then the other word that Sui bring about is very good. When you perceive in negativity means non-acceptance. Understand or not? means you are not able to accept what happened. So this non-acceptance is the cause of problem. That's why you, when you perceive a situation with negativity, means you cannot accept what happened. You cannot accept what is. So non-acceptance of what is the cause of suffering. What is the reality. So this one is not a reality. So your wrong thought can trigger suffering. Then when you hold on to this belief, this will torment you more and more. More and more wrong thought will come about. You let Sui explain.
It's just one little add-on. Because in the example, I was talking to Sister Yun Chan about her bee sting. And then this did not come out very clearly in our conversation, but she was saying, it's because I wore the crop fingers glove. If I had worn the full fingers glove, I cannot bit my knuckle here. So you see, it's because of the non-acceptance. This shouldn't have happened. That's why the subsequent thoughts will say, I should have worn. It's because I didn't do this. So all the other thoughts were all negative. Then she was worrying about it. Although she said, it's okay, I'll get over it. I'm not worried. But actually, there's a subtle dukkha inside that is festering. And that is all the mental blue blacks, the bruising, that will accumulate and really become. Well, the drastic thing is when you put on decades and decades of all these blue blacks, it becomes traumatic, depression, and so on and so forth. And when you have nothing to do, like when COVID, that time I sit at home, no job, everything, only the blue blacks come out, the brain go and think of all these things. So I realize how this can really be a big thing when I'm idle, with nothing to busy myself with. These are the things I have been accumulating in my brain. Yeah, not healthy.
Very good, sadhu. Adeline, I think you still got something to add, yeah? Yeah, Adeline. Yeah.
Okay, come to the...
Never mind, just leave it.
Chanting, so...
Continue.
Okay, so we chant Surangama Sutta. So I'm not I'm not good in Mahayana chanting. So usually I will just... stand there and meditate. Today I took the chanting book and I'm trying to follow the words.
You can follow,
I cannot follow.
Oh.
Okay, so I try to follow. Then beginning, yes, they chant very, very fast. Okay,
yeah,
so
theirs is very fast.
Very, very fast.
But the rhythm is very good.
Yeah.
You can synchronize your awareness. That thing is very beautiful. It like resonate inside,
Yes. So for the first paragraph, I can follow, and then after that, when the Sifu is chanting, there are other Sifu, they have pardon me for my ignorance.
No problem.
Make the different sound. Some sound. It covered up the main chanting. So I cannot follow. Even though I try, but I cannot follow. Then of course, there is some negativity. Why this sound came? I cannot hear the chanting, right?
The sankara very fast.
Yes.
If you are not mindful, not sensitive, you cannot see them.
Yes.
Because they are like normal people who are heedless. To them it's normal, this type of line of approach of thinking, which is like what Sui they all come to understand. These are wrong thoughts. One wrong thought can trigger off the chain of suffering, mental suffering. You hold on to that wrong thought, why I so stupid? I shouldn't have done that. Like the example Yun Chan, I should have wore a thicker glove. Understand? You might as well cover your whole body. But then the reality is happened already. So what Adeline saw, the wrong thought, is very beautiful. But this is what the Buddha meant by how you can develop mindfulness and sensitivity to observe so that you know that this wrong thought has arisen. Then only you can cultivate the first right effort to abandon it. How in the future this will not arise. That's why trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. through what? Through straightening your view, through developing all this Dhamma understanding, have contentment, do not perceive any situation with negative. And then this wrong thought, which is habitual, will not come out as often. Then finally one day, completely rooted out. Where you see the unreality of thought, the unreality of mind, the unreality of a condition-dependent originating world. So all this is what the penetrative Dhamma is. When you have them, you will never perceive anything with negativity. Thing is just the way it is. Acceptance, like my daughter come to know. Acceptance, free. Non-acceptance, create problem. Create negative thought, create suffering. Good. After you saw your wrong thought, then what happened?
Luckily, it's quite fast. So yeah. Once the wrong thought came, so okay, I decided.
Then immediately it subsides. Because you already understand the wrong thought. Otherwise, you won't label it as wrong thought.
I decided to close my chanting book and I just
very
hold
good.
It.
Very
I
good.
Just hold the chanting book and just listen to the chanting.
Sadhu.
Okay, then from there, the mindfulness came. I can hear the different tones.
Yeah. All very clear.
The sifu and the drum and the what.
Yeah.
Wow, I tell you, it was
a lot of joy.
Perfect harmony.
Yeah, and
a
lot of joy.
So beautiful, yeah.
But that is from your true mind, you understand?
Yeah.
That's why the chanting there, do you know that Tang Jia, he hold a very big stick. When he touched that big bowl, the root vibration, really, inside your nature. Beautiful, the vibration.
Before that, when I, last time I didn't follow the chanting book, so I just listened. I cannot listen so many layers of sound.
Correct.
But with this little exercise, then I appreciate the different layers of the sound.
Yeah.
And it is so, harmonized. And
yeah,
then
a lot of harmony.
My heart is vibrating.
Yeah, vibrating and open up. It's in resonance.
Yeah, I'm just
that,
like
that nature,
with the chanting.
Awareness and the chanting as one, and all these become clear. But this awareness, no matter how fast, I told you, I saw the TV. My mindfulness was with it. Means specific phenomenal awareness. I don't need to know. I just sit still. The awareness move with it. No matter how fast. That's why 1 second, billion of consciousness. Yes, possible. But that nature is still. If you don't move, everything that moves, that nature perceive or aware. That's the power of that awareness nature. And the other thing that Adeline just now shared is not only the first right effort. He already contemplated, reflected, and she knew his wrong thought. The moment it knew his wrong thought, it subsides. Means what? The second right effort to prevent it from arising. Next level, she will be able to do that. Really. But this one, after it arises, straight away subside. Means the next time, before it arrives, he will know how to do it. Really. And to do that, you need to contemplate and reflect on all this that I shared. What is a problem? It could be a wrong thought or what? Okay? When you perceive it, with negativity, just like just now, she said, the thought perceive it with negative. Why this monk like that? Then why this one make this sound? Well, why? Until she cannot follow. Then the wrong thought. Well, you perceive them with negative. Because like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. It's meant to be one, for you to learn, or they are just the way they are. Then when this one unfolds, when you penetrate this understanding, then you will never perceive a situation in negative. Your thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Learn to see things as they are. The world is the world. That one shared by me. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Violent people do violent things. When conditioned like that, things will be like that. It has to be like that. That is the reality. Anasana. Oh, this one. Yeah. So non-acceptance of what is the reality means you perceive in negativity. And when you do that, problem arise, suffering arise. So this one, I better put here. Lead to suffering. Very good. Sadhu, let us rejoice. With the good sharing. Sadhu.
That makes me understand, just like what written on the board, when we perceive any situation with negativity,
yes,
then suffering came. So when we perceive it with
wholesomeness
or then, accepting as it is, then happiness comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then each year,
very good. Sadhu.
It's an understanding. Yeah.
Yeah, sadhu. Very good. That's how you learn, Anasana. Not from knowledge and theory, Anasana. This one is go down and listen to chanting only, the Dhamma come, Anasana. I also never teach, Anasana. But after she has the experience or the understanding, awakening, then when I share this, it links, Anasana. That's why she put up her hand. Ah, Alicia. You learn faster from other people's experience. It will give you faith.
Hello, brother Tio, good afternoon, good morning, brothers and sisters in the Dharma. Just now what Adeline shares leads me to this morning chanting as well. This morning when I was doing the chanting, so as Adeline said, everyone has got a tone. It's like suddenly everyone is different. But my awareness straight away go to Fa Chan Si. Because he is leading, so I have to follow his tone. So when I go on and chant, so I follow his tone, I can follow exactly what he's chanting. So don't even have the thought of why is it like that, you know? Just straight away go to Fa Chan Si because he's leading. So that's what I want to share. So do garden.
Let's rejoice. This one is very good because you know why? Because Alicia has stabilized her awareness, detected the gateway, and she understands a lot of things. That's why she will know the situation. She will know who to follow. Because no need to like be disturbed or agitated by what you perceive. Everybody different tone, lack of harmony. This one is mundane thinking. This is wrong thought. And always remember, delusion start with one wrong thought, understand? Then the whole chain of wrong thought arise. Like just now I mentioned in the sharing of the Heart Sutta book, it lead to depression, understand? Your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, restless of mind, cocoon of thought, you keep on going through and repeating this wrong thought, it become habitual. Then you get trapped inside. And this one leads to depression. Your fear, your anger, your deep resentment all arise. Because the more you think, the more angry and emotional you become. Sometimes the more fearful you become. Then why you want to think the wrong thought? I really told you. Wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and misery. And yet you want to go and think it, no? Stupid or not? Already so much mental suffering, but like what I say, it's not physical, no? You cannot burn and torment until mentally you depress and collapse already. You still don't know that you suffer. No? That is really pitiful. The Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So that you won't another situation where you are in the midst of suffering and yet you don't know you are suffering. You're still blaming people. You still believe you are right. How can the world be like that? How can people like that? I didn't do anything wrong. Why must this thing happen to me? All these are not a reality. It's your own views, opinion, conditioning, how you perceive yourself. Because you want to justify your action. You want to be right. Other people wrong. But the Buddha already said these are all wrong thoughts. That's why I tell you in another way. No amount of sorrow and lamentation or fear, worry, anxiety can help you solve your problem. If it cannot help you, then why you think the wrong thought? Why not you develop the right view, law of karma, like Sui come to know, embrace, then accept the reality. If I don't pay back, sooner or later I still have to pay back. Maybe in a more severe way. Understand? At least Yun Chan here, he kena, he pay back. I ask her, you got medicine? I say, a lot. Everybody offering, including Dr. J and all those things. See? If it's somewhere in the world where there is nobody in words, understand? Then sometimes when you meditate, you develop a lot of pain or unhappy feeling or what. Sometimes it's a blessing, you know. It's better to suffer here than in the car accident, understand? You see it or not? Take it while you are going through all this. Because sometimes endurance can also be quite challenging. You endure your pain, you endure your whatever determination to see it through and all those things. So all this, of course, come with sacrifice. The pain, the numbness, the whatever, uncomfortable feeling or sensation. But this is better than taking it outside in severe, more severe situation, like maybe injury, suffering caused by accident or calamity or what. So sometimes when we perceive a situation with wholesomeness, we have contentment and gratitude. Luckily, it's only this. Understand? At least compared to a lot of other situations, this is a lot better already. Because I must have taken care of my karma quite well. Otherwise, a lot of people really, really miserable. Because when karma hit, they come in bundle. You realize that? Because when the healers, they confront karma without understanding, they get more angry, more fearful and more frustrated. And this is all negative thought process, though. The vibration is very negative, so it conditions more negative karma. That's why I say, whatever happened, don't get angry, don't panic, calm yourself down, relax, maintain awareness, develop the calm mind, develop acceptance of what happened, the reality. See things as they are. Thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. Condition like that, things will be like. And then from there, with clarity of mind, contemplate, reflect, then act, following Dhamma way, to recover and to enable you to resolve everything amicably and move on. And that is the cultivation. So this understanding, all this teaching, you need to put into practice, understand? And when you confront them, that is the time you can practice them. When there is anger, when there is fear, when there is emotion, there is wrong thought, like what Adeline, they all go through. Stay with the mind, stay with the awareness, and see whether it really sees or not. Then you will have the faith when you really witness it. That's why Dhamma investigation is to investigate into what the Buddha said, that's all, what the teaching tell you. If it can stand up to the test, that's why it's ehi paseko. You can put it to test. It will stand up to investigation. Why? Because it's a truth. It's a universal truth. Evergreen.
Finish the story. I go for the way. The feedback. Oh, okay. Okay, maybe I go to the board. So the not just the thought, so the feeling that came with this wrong thought was resentment, and that resentment led to subsequent wrong thought, which was, I should have worn better gloves, things like that, which continue to turn the circle of suffering. This feeling is gratitude. And the right thought that come after that, for example, was luckily left hand, not right hand, I'm right-handed. So things like that, this is how the gratitude can change the whole feel in the heart, and the things we say, things we do will make
things go in the better direction, then the repayment of karma actually lessen, I feel.
Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, good. Any more? Ah, yeah. Po Cheng, yeah.
Amitabha, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayamitas.
Yeah, sadhu.
Brother Teo, I find that today's the discussion about this chanting very interesting because everybody is different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Adeline has her version, Alicia has his version, her version, and I also have my own version. Okay,
good.
What happened was yesterday I went for the chanting also attended. Yeah. Okay, then today I didn't want to go lah because I was thinking maybe I want to sleep longer. But then because we slept in a big room and the lights, the noise, so I woke up. So I said, since I have time, why don't I go down join the chanting. So when yesterday for me personally because my chanting, especially Mandarin one, you cannot catch up. They are very, very fast.
Yeah, they are very
so
fast.
So my purpose is not to go there to do chanting. Yeah, yeah. My purpose there is just to absorb that vibration, you know, the vibration.
You're silent.
Yes,
the moment you're silent, correct. All this come in.
Yes, correct. So for me, it's developing my inner awareness, stabilizing my inner awareness. So how long I can stay with it, you know.
Sadhu.
And then the vibration go in, it will open up your heart,
open up
your heart, you know. That is what my purpose of the attending the,
sadhu,
the chanting.
Sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Very good.
Sadhu,
thank you
sadhu,
for the sharing. So this is how you can understand different people approach cultivation differently. Same environment, same chanting by the same group of monk and nun and other things, but how come it's been received by each and everyone differently? Because every one of us is different. Our karmic past is different. Our DNA conditioning, everything. Your retributive karma, your activity karma, and also your affliction karma, they are all different. That's why you will understand how people are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things be like that. Everybody is subject to the same condition, but different outcome. So it definitely have to do with what the Buddha said. We are all born of karma, heir to our karma. Conditioned, supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. And because our form and mind has evolved over billions and billions of years, eons and eons of period of samsara, coming and going, activity. No two person is the same, understand? Everyone is different. So all this understanding as it unfolds in your cultivation, you become different. Your understanding of the totality of existence become very different. You have very extensive exposure and understanding. And you can later on teach and guide people differently. Where you witness them, you see them. So I like this type of group sharing and discussion because you learn faster. Understand? For me, even my nature come and I do the sharing, it's like I share, I teach, but I learn also. Well, from what I saw, the response, the result, and how each and everyone come and so different, and how they receive, my nature also learn. And because of all this long period of cultivation, that's why my nature can sense and know why certain people are like that, why certain people are not like that. To me, this is natural. This is what the nature's law is. This is what Dhamma is. And Dhamma is very beautiful. It has its conditioned Dhamma and conditioned Dhamma. So all this, as you cultivate, you develop deeper and deeper understanding, more and more extensive understanding. And that's how it perfects your spiritual nature, your karmic nature, your understanding. Then the more you cultivate, the more understanding you will develop. This is the reason why I say wisdom is unending. you can learn. Your civilization is unending. The universe is so immense. There is no such thing as I have learned enough. Understand? Even I think in the our Mandarin education, they have a lot of this saying to learn is a life journey. Ah, 活到老学到老, correct? It's an unending thing, understand? Well, this is what life is all about. So when you understand all this, you become different. Okay, Manya, finish it. I think we got 10 more minutes or so. Page 75, 2.2, yeah.
2.2, important notes. 1. Hosts always there to stay, but guests, they come and go. 2. You hold the key to your own life's destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy depends entirely on your own choice. Then why are you not happy? If we choose to be happy, then no one can make us unhappy. Unless we ourselves allow ourselves to be unhappy via our own delusion. 2, 3, thought is like money, and money is neither good nor evil, because good and evil depend on the user. If the user of money or thought is evil, then money or thought will also become evil. If user of thought has wisdom, then thought becomes right and wholesome thought. So the user of thought is the most important. Hence, do strive on with heedfulness to develop the right views and wisdom more and more. Part 3 Meditation, email number 4, page 9 of the email compilation notes. 3.1 Commentary on Three Turnings under Theravada and Mahayana. Bharatiya explained that the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths given in Pali under the Theravada tradition is very accurate. Mahayana's explanation compared to Theravada differs a bit. The problem with most cultivators is they cling onto the first turning and never get down to the nitty-gritty of the second turning, where all the hard work is. For more details, please refer to email number 4, page 9 of Brother Teo's email compilation notes on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, dated 14 May 2007.
Continue. Next lesson, lesson 13. Yeah.
13 Heart Sutra class, 1.1. Dhammapada verses on heedfulness, verse 21, 22, 23. Heedfulness means a mind that is constantly meditative and ever mindful to develop clear understanding and wisdom while seeing things as they are. Understanding the importance of heedfulness while understanding the following important Dhammapada verses. Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 22. Distinctively understanding this difference, the wise who intend on heedfulness will rejoice in the realm of Ariyas or the enlightened one. Once. Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, the ever mindful, and the steadfast ones realize the born free supreme Nibbana. Part 2 Heart Sutra Lesson 13. 2.1 Dhammapada verse 1. Leads to suffering. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. If one speaks, acts, and thinks with a wicked, unwholesome mind that has three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow one like the wheel that follows the hoof. Dhammapada verse 2 leads to happiness. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. If one speaks, acts, and thinks with a pure, wholesome mind that is free of all the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow one like the shadow that never leaves him. 2.3 Question 1. Why is the teaching or Dharma as taught by the Buddha during his time becomes different as it gets passed down over the years. Brother Teo answered, because the Dharma was passed down via using words and speeches which are verbal in nature, and as we all know, words are subject to various types of interpretation, hence the deviation. For example, when asked about what is the first noble truth as taught by the Buddha, more often than not, we get the standard and very popularly accepted answer, life is suffering. And this is very dangerous, because the Buddha never said that. The Buddha instead proclaimed that there is a first noble truth that explains clearly what dukkha or suffering is. And according to Lord Buddha, there are 8 conditions in life or realities of life and existence that can give rise to suffering when one confronts them without wisdom. They are the realities of birth, getting old or old age, sicknesses and death, when you are with people whom you don't like, when there is separation from your loved ones and your prized possessions, things that we hold on to dearly, when you cannot get what you want, or when things don't go your way, etc. No matter who you are and how wealthy and powerful you are, if you live long enough, you will confront all these realities of life and existence. The Buddha then went on to proclaim that there is a cause behind all suffering, and the cause is always craving, born of delusion. This is the second noble truth. Then, under the third noble truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be, because there is a noble truth that explains the possibility of the cessation of all suffering in the here and the now. Then finally, the Buddha taught the fourth noble truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely the Noble Eightfold Path, and if one cultivates this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all dukkha or suffering. 2.4 Important definitions. 自在, meaning me in the moment, and it means at ease. Number 2, false thinking, means heedless thinking. Number 3, one is not right here or aware within, means lost in thought. 4, first pronunciation, 觉, means enlightenment. And second pronunciation, 叫, means to stir up trouble. Part 3, meditation, email number 4, 3 turnings of the 4 noble truths. 3.1, training of the mind to be heedful. 2 steps are involved. Number 1, via mind sweeping method, plus metta, plus 6R, plus object of meditation. Number 2, then finally, silence your mind to be heedful within, via relinquishing the object of meditation, i.e. mind is constantly meditative and ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. The mind sweeping method is a very good and useful, skillful means to train the mind to be at the location you want it to be, and it also trains you to feel and not to think. Then you continue to relax whatever tension, tightness and stress within the location you feel, like your forehead, etc., to enable you to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, to realize the tranquility, peace, quietness and calmness within when there is no thinking. Then your mind will be peaceful, at ease and without thought after deconditioning it from your habitual heedless thinking and worrying, etc. 14 Heart Sutra Class 1.1 Life and Existence Following the 5 Universal Nature's Orders, Pancha Niyamas. Within our conditioned world of life and existence, everything is conditioned arising, or they arise due to causal phenomena. Following the 5 universal nature's laws, orders, pancha niyamas, namely, putu niyama, bija niyama, kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Hence, they exhibit the 3 universal characteristics of anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering state, and anatta, non-self, empty nature. The first two are scientific laws, nature's physical law, utu niyama, and nature's biological order, bija niyama. And the next three are nature's spiritual laws, namely karma niyama, law of karma, citta niyama, law of the mind, and dhamma niyama, law of dhamma or truths as taught by the Buddha. Understanding these five universal orders or laws imply having right view with regards to life and existence, and this right view will enable one to have great understanding and wisdom of our existential world. Understanding citta niyama will also enable one to understand how our mind functions. Following the 12 links or law of dependent origination, paticca samuppada, as taught by the Buddha. The children of today are mostly second generation kids of the millennials generation, and nowadays parents, they are usually overprotective of these second generation children, and they also tend to over pamper them in the name of loving them, hence giving rise to all the related social problems. This is especially common in families where their family members lack understanding for having close relationship with one another. They usually lack harmony, and the family members seldom have the opportunity or line of communication to talk and discuss issues with one another openly, frankly, and sincerely to resolve their life's problems like relationship, health, career, and financial problem, etc. Do learn to play your role as responsible, good and wise parents while cultivating and understanding the Buddha Dharma or great wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Then share them with your children to guide them through life. Your duties or responsibilities as parents are to provide for their basic needs like food, shelter, clothing, and education, etc., when they are young, and not to pamper them or be too protective of them. Advise them accordingly, and then allow them to make their own decision in life, because it is their life, and let them be responsible for their own life decisions, and never force them or try to control them in any way that will cause them to dislike you or refuse to talk or discuss matters with you.
Okay, do you know why you must do that? Because that is your duty. So that in future there is no karmic imprint that is negative to come back to you. So in future you have parents who do the same to you. Your life, they let you decide. They are there to advise you only, guide you. Not to force you to do things that you don't like. But this have karmic implication. When you do that, you will have parents who will do back the same or similar thing to you. That's why my advice here is based on the understanding that my nature has from the past. That's why this has helped a lot of Kayamita to deal with their children, to develop the love, the understanding, and the acceptance, but not to pamper them. Understand? Pamper them is not love. Just because you think you love your children, you have the means, now modern people only one or two children, then you provide them with everything. That is actually creating karmic for you. In future, you have parents who will pamper you and spoil you and give you the same thing. Then you get yourself into trouble, because when you are brought up in this way, most people, whatever they receive come from their past karmic action. So they didn't know. This is how you pamper your children and spoil your children. So now you come, you become the children, and the parent has the similar karmic tendency and do the same thing back to you. That's why you don't know how to do your duty as parents or as children, which are all explained by the Buddha under one of the suttas, Sigalovada Sutta. Then you will get yourself entangled unnecessarily. So these are all based on understanding. Okay, read on.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 14, 2.1. Conditioned love and metta. There is a big difference between emotional love, conditioned love, and metta, which is universal love. An example of emotional love is the usual love or hate relationship of lay people. One moment they will love each other when things go their way, and the next moment, this so-called emotional love can turn into hatred, envy, and jealousy, etc. Then, there is the other relationship between parents and children, brothers and sisters, daughters-in-law and mothers-in-law, good friends, etc., expressed as conditioned love that only exists because of relationship bonds, whereas universal love or metta is love without any opposite. The mind that has metta is always peaceful and happy, without any negativity. It is born of wisdom that enables one to accept the reality of the moment and always be at peace with the way things are, and one's heart is always full of metta. 2.2. Definition of terms. Samadhi, a mind that is collected, unwavering and unmoving, with total understanding of the ever-shining or the Buddha nature. Host and master, meaning fully in charge. Mind is at peace, meaning mind that is heedful, silent and unstirred. Dharma saying by Master Bo Yan Chang Lao is quite similar. Sing Jing, still and silent mind. Wu Nian Si Zhen Xing, no thought is true mind. Dong Nian Ji Wu Ming.
Wu Ming.
Wu Ming. Steering of the thought is delusion. That is understanding, meaning wisdom. Outflows means defilements, evil roots, and delusion. 2.3. The eight worldly conditions, or the eight wings, or the eight pairs of dualities are. Number one, gain and loss. Wherever there is gain, there is loss. Before you have not. So what you have lost is only losing back what you have gained. We came with nothing and we go with nothing. Then why does one grieve over emptiness in between? Number two, happiness and sorrow. If you cling to happiness, sorrow will be the result, because it is a conditioned world. Number three, praise and blame. Wherever there is praise, there will also be blame. Number four, fame and ill fame. The same goes with fame and ill fame. Note, do not cling to the eight worldly conditions. See the importance of cultivating the equanimity enlightenment factor needed to liberate the mind. Part 3, Meditation, 3.1. Purpose of Meditation. Deeper states of meditation are needed to allow the stillness and cessation to develop and stabilize via wisdom. The two main purposes of meditation are to stabilize the silent and tranquil heedful mind via a combination of relaxation, clear awareness, wisdom, and understanding. Two, to use this still, tranquil mind to investigate clearly into all the Dharma and phenomena, both internally and externally within life, to realize the wisdom and the enlightenment needed to free the mind. Brother Teo also shared with us his own cultivation and how he came out into the private sector to test himself in 1989. For details, please listen to the 14th Heart Sutra recording dated 25th May 2012. 15th Heart Sutra class.
Manya, I think we have to stop right here. We have to stop for meditation. It's supposed to end at 11 o'clock, yeah. Okay, now we are off the light, yeah, so that you all can have your awareness-based meditation. Yeah. Make full use of this meditation session, yeah, to develop the understanding, the stability of mindfulness or awareness. Okay, I will set the alarm for 45 minutes, or 1 hour, sorry, 1 hour. So 1 hour, you can break it into two, 45 minutes of formal meditation, 15 minutes of mindfulness training, walking meditation or bowing, or just contemplation. Yeah? You schedule it on your own. If you find that you sit first, or you can do the formal meditation in the lying down posture, just do it. Yeah. Okay? Okay, here you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness for as long as you can. Then all of your movement and activity determined to be aware, especially the blinking of your eye. Then every movement, activity, even when you sit, all the movement, then how you sit, then how you observe, see, move, even when you are having your meals, maintain awareness. Yeah. Then later on, when you are skillful, even when you speak, you are fully aware. Then to maintain awareness is very easy. You don't have to do anything. You're just silent inside, then the awareness nature can see everything. Yeah. Then you want to be attentive at which particular phenomena is up to you. Yeah. Then you silent everything without a center, then it's just spacious. Means within that space, all the movement within that consciousness that you arise, like seeing, you can see the movement. Hearing, you can hear the movement, the activity. So today is Sunday. Because of that, the school children are out there, Sunday school children. So don't be like affected by the noise they make. In fact, thank them. They test you. See whether you are a real meditator or not. You can be affected by what they do. It means you have not really developed the stability of awareness and understanding. Then I was observing this morning, I think, quite good. I think there are two or three kilometers, they were up here very early, I think. I came in about 5:20 like that. They were sitting here meditating like that. Then later on, more. But most of them were down there listening to the chanting, which is also good, no problem. But here, early morning is very conducive, because the silence of nature is very still. Then you can go into the stillness very fast. Then your shift of consciousness, they keep on coming, keep on manifesting. You know what is shift of consciousness or not? Huh? Your mind inside there is like very noisy or not. Then suddenly you experience like quiet, or sudden tranquil, or sudden clarity. That is the shift of consciousness. When your consciousness has shift from your lethargic mind, sleepy mind with the hindrance, or your restless mind with the thinking, honestly. Then suddenly, because you know how to relax and let the mind settle down, then all this movement, without you knowing it, slow down. until light stop. Yeah. Initially, it's not all the movement. Sometimes it's nature's vibration or activity. Suddenly, no more, become very quiet. A very good example is if you are at home, you got the desktop computer, you on it, it make a lot of noise. If you are mindful, aware, you will know it. But if you are absorbed in the computer screen, then you don't even know that vibration. But when you off the computer, do you realize that shut down that time? Suddenly, the whole machine, the CPU like shut down. Suddenly become very quiet. That is the shift and the sound from the noisy environment that your senses pick up. But when there is a major shutdown, means suddenly the external vibration, like during the daytime, the traffic or the movement, the vibration, suddenly no more, middle of the night, you experience the silence of nature. That is the shift. That is the shift of consciousness. But the real shift is when there is no noise inside. Means your chattering, your verbalization, your restlessness, your worry, anxiety, your whatever sankhara activity. When that one completely stops, you experience your true mind. The paucity, tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, complete silence. Calm, still, and clear. When you do awareness meditation, if you are patient, you know how to relax and allow the awareness to settle down. Because when you don't do anything, the mind will settle down. And all this activity or movement, they are dependent originating. If you don't have any thought to allow them to continue, then it will settle down. But the new people who have not trained, your problem is during the day you are not mindful, understand? You most of the time think a lot, heedless. So this one has become habitual, understand? That's why when you want to sleep, your activity up here still movement. I came to know about this is because after my mindfulness developed, I can see them. Then in the early day, I remember, after my mindfulness was very stable already, whenever I got a discussion with somebody, whenever I get like absorbed into it, I saw this one movement. It tried to like retrieve information and all those things, and then later on when I developed the wisdom, I realized I don't go here, I go here. Here, like very quiet, But then at the early day, I remember the first time I came out to share that time was 2004. Because people cannot understand and they ask a lot of questions. Then my nature, out of compassion, I want to understand how can I teach or share in a way where people can understand. So I had to reflect on it, contemplate on it. Then I realized when I have the intent, which is wholesome, this follow up there start to move again. No? But not like last time. So it move is because you want to do something. Understand? You want to arrive. Then I saw this. Then I asked myself, think also like that, don't think also like that. Do also like that, don't do also like that. Then later on, the understanding came and make it different. Got condition, only do. No condition, no need to do. Because sometimes it's the nature. You know, people want to learn, people want to understand. Then I was ready, but ahead of time. Then even when the time come in 2004, which was 15 years later after I connect, I was ready, but people not ready. What I share, hardly anybody understand. We are so different from what is commonly taught and accepted by people. and their views, opinion, conditioning, belief system is so strong. That's why Sui have to put in English. Yeah? You look at this English word, I think it's helpful. This should not have happened means you have resentment. You are not happy of what happened, the reality. Then when you accept this reality, when you can accept, means what? No more negativity. Understand? Not? Then this is better to have happen. Otherwise, it will be a problem. That's why you embrace it. And when you embrace it and accept it, what happened? You don't go and think about it anymore. Yeah? You don't go and worry about it anymore. So this one failed to torment you, understand? But there is no more grasping, clinging, and worrying. There is no more trying to solve any problem. It's not a problem, understand? That's why acceptance free you. Like forgiveness free you. When you forgive, the evil root of anger no more. When you accept, no more clinging. Understand? Not? Careful or not? Huh? When you accept the reality of what happened, that is what is. What is the reality, like the Buddha said. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And what are these causes and conditions? The nature's law that governs life existence. One of it is karma, linked to your past. So why you want to be upset, blame, and do all those foolish things? After all, it's not so real, just a conditioned world. And you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy is entirely your choice. Choose to be happy. You mean so difficult to choose to be happy? To people who don't have the understanding and the Dhamma, yes, it's very difficult. But now you attend retreat, attend course, you have all the book, everything. You read already, still not interested or don't know how to apply. Means what? You don't love yourself. And you choose to hold on to all these things and continue your own way. That's why you lack wisdom. You cannot free. You cannot understand what life is. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot be at peace with all situations. The inability comes from your wrong view. When you perceive a situation in negative, and this is your habitual tendency from your memory, your brain. You have been doing this. Why? Because you got knowledge. Born of what? Your view, your belief system, your conditioning, and all your accumulated experiences, good and bad, phobia, insecurity, happy moments, or whatever. So all this accumulate and mold you. Then from there you act. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. But that one is full of rubbish and delusion inside there with the evil root, wrong thought. So that one always create problem for you. Everything that happens you don't like, things don't go your way, if your expectation in life are not met, when you cannot get what you want, suffer. You have problem. Then like Sui say, this emotion can be resentment or fear or worry or anxiety or deep resentment or unlike, your dislike. So all this envy, jealousy or whatever means you lack right thought, which is gratitude, love, compassion, and even sincerity, respect, humility. All this is what you're supposed to develop. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path say right view leading to right thought. And all these are right thought. And all these that cannot accept the reality one are all wrong thought. Understand not? Whatever that make you unhappy, fearful, lack of peace, are all wrong thought. Whenever you are not peaceful, unhappy, the wrong thought is there. Remember that. Then immediately the awareness prompts you. Okay, now I investigate. Like Sui learn all this. That's why I just told my children, whatever happened, don't do this. Don't get angry, don't get unhappy, don't blame, don't go and create until the whole mess of suffering arises. That's why she used that way to live life, and she learned through analysis, which is more of his forte or way of solving things. Yeah, she's an IT student, she looked at logic one. So you tell her anything also, she won't believe you. When the time is not ready, like she told me, in the early day, she not interested. I used to photostat all the notes that I give to Karamita. I put on her table. Then one big pile, thick pile. And that time, she told me, recently I found the 2019. She said, "Daddy, I remember you put on my table." But that time I look at it, all words on it. He cannot understand. But now, she saw that thing, wow, so beautiful. The whole of, from the human being, the creation, until the four circle formation, how you develop the meditative understanding and go up from the mundane maya, samsaric maya, to become the supramundane mind. Then how from the supramundane mind you live life, means you can understand the phenomenal world of consciousness on the right. Then how you cease and return to the pure awareness and return to the soul. The whole thing is there. I sent out to the Maikayamita. I will share that one later on. I got the photocopy in color, so you all can see. Okay, we better go. We are there is lunch. So we go for lunch, and after that come back at 1:30. So this lunch break, you have the usual time. So don't worry, you have a lot of time.